Israel says its forces carried out an airstrike in Gaza today that unintentionally killed seven workers from Chef Jose Andres' World Central Kitchen in Gaza. CBS's Holly Williams.
They were killed as they tried to get food to desperate Palestinians. One vehicle seems to have taken a direct hit.
A deadly shooting among sixth graders north of Helsinki. Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk.
Finnish police say a 12-year-old who'd got hold of a relative's handgun opened fire on classmates, killing one and seriously wounding two others. The suspect was captured after fleeing the scene.
The Biden campaign's released a new ad targeting his Republican challenger, a day after Florida's Supreme Court cleared the way for a six-week abortion ban.
In 2016, Donald Trump ran to overturn Roe v. Wade.
The Florida court also put the issue on the November ballot, letting voters decide if abortion rights should be enshrined in the state constitution. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today is primary election day. President Biden and Donald Trump have already clinched their party's nominations. There are two constitutional amendments on the ballot. On-site voter registration is available with proof of residence like a utility bill. You need a photo ID to vote, but it doesn't need to show your current address. Donald Trump campaigns in Green Bay today, weather permitting, his first stop in Wisconsin since clinching the Republican nomination for president. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez says Trump has failed working families and women.
Donald Trump has proudly bragged that he was the one who got rid of Roe versus Wade, and he's calling for punishing women who have an abortion.
President Biden campaigns in Madison Monday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A new Oakleaf Medical Network clinic has officially opened in Eau Claire. Spears Pain and Rehab announced it would be opening in the region following the announcement of all HSHS and Prevea facilities closing. The clinic will offer pain management care and rehabilitative care, as well as other non-surgical services. Oakleaf Medical Network also plans to open a number of other clinics in the Chippewa Valley, attempting to cover gaps in care for area patients who were relying on HSHS and Prevea. A Stanley man has been charged with conspiracy to commit murder. According to court records, Jay Conklin is currently serving a 40-year sentence after being convicted in two child sexual assault cases. Two other inmates allegedly told authorities that Conklin was trying to get them to kill the prosecutor from his case and had details on the prosecutor's home and family. Authorities then pretended to be one of the inmates' cousins and recorded the call from Conklin. He is now facing an additional 72 years in prison. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Badgers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, the Wisconsin women's basketball team losing to St. Louis in the Kohl Center, 65-60, ending their season. It was a rough night for the Badgers, first losing one of their top players, Sarah Williams, to an apparent knee injury at the start of the game. Later, Sonia Copeland had to exit just before the half with reportedly a concussion. The Badgers made it to the Grade 8 women's NIT semifinals, their first appearance in the postseason in 13 years. NBA, the Bucks wrap up their road trip tonight in D.C. against the Wizards. Baseball opening day in Milwaukee. The Brewers and the Twins this afternoon. Did sweeping the Mets show how good the Brewers can be?
Yeah, I think if you just said it, I think we compete. We go out there, and whether it's in the box or on the mound, we're just competing our butts off and being aggressive and having that mindset plays off of one another. If we see this guy's doing it, then we're going to do it. So I think it's a good start for us.
That's Brewers pitcher Colin Ray with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Yeah. It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light rain and snow showers likely. Our high 44 this afternoon, the wind north at 10 to 20. Tonight, light rain and snow, our low down to 30, some minor accumulation. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy with scattered light snow and a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, Up North News, Pat Whitelow joins us at 10:30 to discuss all things news. Make sure you join us.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I appreciate it very much. You know, I'm listening and observing, you know, all the conflicts and other things that many of the things that we're having political conflicts today were settled items years ago. And I want to start with really the fundamental of the U.S. Constitution. In my mind, it's a live and let live document, meaning it allows us the freedom to live our own lives, and it allows our friends and neighbors to live their lives the way they choose to. It's really a simple, simple process, but somehow the right wing has taken control of the narrative, and they've spun that live and let live fundamental into an attack weapon, if you will. And now it's turned into something completely different. You know, we used to have a distinct difference of church and state. America would stand in the position that there should be separations of church and state. It's very, very popular, still is today. But yet we allow the GOP to hijack the conversation to where they use religion and you know, as a weapon in our politics. And it just seems to me that if we the peeps would just say, you know, enough of this nonsense, and support the fundamentals of church, you know, separation of church and state, support live and let live principles of the U.S. Constitution, much of our conflicts and our strife that we're facing today would just kind of evaporate. And I want to get your opinion on that.
You know, Sandy, he makes great points, but the only problem with it is there's another side that disagrees.
Well, except that I think that the simplification of, and I think it's kind of profound, actually. I haven't heard it talked about that way, but I do think the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are all about live and let live, okay? And live and let live is a pretty fundamental kind of natural law concept that is easy to understand. And I wonder if conservatives who started talking about imposing their standards, their concepts, on the rest of the country would stand back and realize that this is operating absolutely contrary to live and let live. It's it's trying to impose their views, and that the idea of trying to impose religion on people is probably going to do more to defeat enthusiasm about religion in this country, which I think the reason that it's being done politically now is that there is this sense societally that religion is losing its grip on society, organized religion, and the data shows that. And so now the knee-jerk reaction to that is let's through government try to impose religious views on people so we can restore religion. Well, I don't think government-imposed thought has ever worked very well. I think that it tends to be repellent to people in terms of if you're going to require that I think this, I'm going to be much more careful about deciding whether I think that or not. So I think that the live and let live society was one that was fundamental to spawning a great deal of religious enthusiasm in the country, allowing people to pursue religion as they saw fit.
Well, so Mike, Sandy, and I'm in agreement with your response, Sandy, and the things that Mike has had to say. But how are you going to get the horses out of the barn? This other group inside is willing to pick up arms.
Well, I do think this. I think that the conservatives have grabbed the flag and claimed possession of it. They've grabbed the term patriotism and taken possession of defining who it is that's a patriot. And now they're grabbing religion as well. They're weaponizing these fundamental concepts that relate to spiritual, sort of spiritual Americanism. And I think that he's right, that the people need to wake up and realize how much that runs contrary to what they hold dear.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, so that brings us to, you know, this question, why are Americans so unhappy? And so this is in today's The Hill. And I read this earlier this morning, and let me just read a couple sentences. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, says Marcellus in Shakespeare's Hamlet, suggesting moral and political decay in a ghostly time. America is in a period of internal dissonance, not quite decay, but something akin to it. We don't feel like a happy country, and in fact, on the list of the happiest nations generated by Gallup each year, America is number 23, behind the United Arab Emirates, and we have dropped from last year's place of 15th. If you are looking for a happy country, go to Finland, which tops the list, along with most of the Nordic countries, which is what you've always said. Most surprising about the data on the happiness is that most unhappy demographics in people under 30, which is ironic, given that the unique understanding of and access to new media. Sandy, that you can see it.
Well, I think this has everything to do with what I keep harping back on, which is the financial plight of middle America, that the budget of middle America is very, very stressed, which creates a great deal of personal stress and emotional stress on Americans. And substantial portion of Americans, I would guess 80% of Americans, live under financial duress, which they wouldn't live under if they had free and available health care, if they had free and available child daycare, if they had free and available education, and they had a retirement that they could be confident in. Those are the underpinnings of, I'll bet you, every one of the countries that are listed ahead of us under that 23. I bet you all 22 of them have all of that provided to their population, which gives people a sense of confidence.
You sure you didn't read this article?
No, I didn't.
Financial stress is one reason so many Americans want to move to another country. In a recent poll by Monmouth University, one-third of respondents said they would like to live in a different nation, a figure that stood at 10% 50 years ago. Not many people had an exact destination in mind. So, Sandy, it clearly is. There's a side and a faction in this country that belies what you say. They don't think that we should be giving those handouts to people. They call those things handouts. and it's been defined as such.
Well, they weren't
health care.
Well, they weren't viewed as handouts when corporations provided them as part of the benefit package, with the benefit package in large part for blue collar workers being driven by union organizations. It wasn't handouts then, but and you know, so our generation that grew up with health care provided at work and with without a need for child daycare because one income got you to the middle class, and with education that was affordable without student loans, you know, things have changed. And what the American public needs to make its politicians aware of is that the politicians have to recognize that these changes need to be taken into account and they need to be acted upon.
So I was at training session last week, and the trainer said, for every psychologist or psychiatrist, there are 400 children who need to see one. 400 to 1 in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see those things, Sandy, more than 20% of teens have seriously considered suicide. When we see those things and we keep seeing them more and more, Sandy, we can't keep ignoring those things. Why do we keep ignoring those things as if they're going to go away?
Well, you know, suicide is a sign of hopelessness, right?
Right.
And hopefulness is what I think is lacking for the under 30 population in this country, because they see the things I'm describing. They see the fact that the American dream might be unachievable for them. They don't see the reason for hope that would move them forward off of the situation they're in. So, you know, despair is a terrible phenomena. Despair is the opposite of happiness. I'm sure that a country that has 23, that ranks 23rd in the world, that is fully developed as we are, is filled with people who have a sense of despair.
So what they see, though, Sandy, those younger people, is, again, people from your and my generation who are not addressing their issues. They don't see Democrat, Republican, for the most part. They see the fact that, why am I going through so much hell?
Well, I think they ought to be careful about analyzing, and from a partisan standpoint, which party it is that would be potentially likely to deal with the problems they see. Is it a party that simply involves, in terms of policy, tax reductions for those who pay taxes and have already made it? Or is it a party that is trying to figure out how to get passed through Congress, a gridlock Congress, the things that are necessary? And, you know, I would fault the Democratic Party for not having programmatically the gumption to take on the issue like Barack Obama did with health care, the big issues that are necessary to resolve this question of affordable, available health care, of daycare, of preschool education, of the things that are necessary to make the middle class comfortable.
Well, you know, Sandy, President Biden is doing all he can. He's looking at those, the debt that students have from, you know, college, and he's trying to do something with that, and he does it. And when he does, he's being called out for doing things that he shouldn't do, handing out free candy. And
well, I mean, so, the fact that we have all that student debt is simply symptomatic of the fact that our graduate education is broken.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, Sandy Williams is here. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And David from Mequon, good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just going to do a quick quote from Thomas Sowell, March 2nd, 2024. Inflation is a quiet but effective way for the government to transfer resources from the people to itself without raising taxes. A $100 bill would buy less in 1998 than a $20 bill would buy in the 1960s. This means that anyone who's kept his money in a safe over those years would have lost 80% of its value, because no safe can keep your money safe from politicians who control the printing presses. And what you're seeing is exactly what's happening. We have the United States brings in $4.5 trillion of revenue every year, despite what people think, well, we're in short paying their taxes and what have you. That's more than any country on the planet. And we are spending $6.5 to $7 trillion a year. And at the end of the day, by having the printing presses, we're lucky that we are the world's reserve currency. We are able to print additional money. The problem is, and Sandy, I think you would agree with this, is that essentially we're paying for something down the road that is not being accounted for, and we keep expanding. I don't understand why we can't live within our means.
So first off, David, you led the conversation talking about inflation. And where I push back on conservatives who point the finger at Joe Biden as the main cause for inflation and then refuse to accept that inflation has been an issue globally in China, all over the earth, inflation has been a boogeyman that people have been dealing with. And to be quite frank, Sandy, I think Joe Biden has done a better job of dealing with the inflation than the majority of the other major nations of the earth.
Well, and getting off of inflation, I mean, inflation is...
Well, that's what Dave began the conversation.
Well, I know, but the inflation, first of all, people want to point at that. And the real problem is the architecture of the economy, and the people who are getting, who are experiencing inflation and troubled by it are the people who have been living paycheck to paycheck. We're living paycheck to paycheck when inflation was below 2%, and are living paycheck to paycheck today. And so what we need is to evaluate that. And so now we fall back to, okay, well, we can't afford to deal with that. Well, we can't afford to continue to have the deficits we're having. That's true. But we, you know, let's figure out what happened, and how did the Republican Party, when they were in power, deal with the deficit? They cut taxes, okay, which is the same as increasing expenditures. You know, they can say, well, it was going to pay for itself. The fact is, the evidence doesn't show that at all. The deficits increased year to year, every year after the tax reduction, and then, of course, ballooned during the pandemic. But what we need to do is get disciplined. And if we get disciplined, let's look back and say, okay, what have we financed with the deficit? Well, my view is what we financed with the deficit primarily are our defense budget and tax reductions. Those are the things that you can accomplish if you aren't worried about what it's going to do to the bottom line of the budget after you do all the things that are absolutely necessary to take care of your population. And so if we got back to just taking care of our population and then figuring out what we had in beyond that and still weren't going to run a deficit, we'd be operating in a far different world. But the fact is, and I don't think the Republicans even recognize this, that what we've done by increasing our deficit and ignoring our deficit is we've gone to war without financing them, which was not something we did in World War II or the Korean War. We've gone to war without financing them, and we've had tax reductions without merit, I mean, without the ability. We had tax reductions when we had deficits. You know, the only time we've had surpluses was during the Clinton administration.
Dave, quickly.
I would do Thomas Sowell again here. Taxing away, this is from February 27th of this year. Taxing away what other people have earned in order to finance one's own moral ventures via social programs is often depicted as a humanitarian endeavor, while allowing others the same freedom and dignity as oneself so that they can make their own choices with their own earnings is considered to be pandering to greed.
Well, I don't even know what you're quoting now, David, but the fact is that for instance, health insurance for all is really just a national health program that is health insurance, okay? And so you have an insurance pool that's financed by people who need insurance, who need health care, and people who don't need health care. That's called insurance. That's called having a pool and spreading the risk. And the same is true with all kind. That's the way public education is funded. When you pay property taxes, you're paying for the education of children you don't have, okay, if you don't have children. And that isn't a handout. That's just the community recognizing what's important to the community. So we can talk about this notion of taxing money from people who earn it to give it to people who don't. It's really just trying to create a moral argument for something that's specious.
I would just tell you, Sandy, you should read one of Thomas Sowell's books, because at least you would understand a little bit better where I'm coming from, because he is a economist and he explains in layman terms as to how we've gotten to the point that we've gotten. I did not blame Joe Biden for what we have going on there. This has been going on since the beginning of mankind. The point is that if you read his books and you really go into depth of what he's talking about, he is spot on with how we are in this situation.
I know who Thomas Sowell is. And so that's one man's opinion, Dave. You know, it's not the Book of Hoyle. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, you know, Dave represents that part of this equation who looks at these things as giveaways, and that our nation shouldn't be giving things to people. And so, you know, these are the American citizens. We're the American people. We represent the government. To act as if these are just handouts to people who are lazy and shiftless and don't want to work is just not acceptable.
Well, my view is that we should look at these things as investments, and when we're in the community investments, that's the way the 20 countries that are happier than we are look at the way they take tax money and invest it. And they invest it in what the community is interested in. And the community is interested in a healthy population, in a well-educated population, and a population that has the opportunity to participate in the economy successfully. That's the community interest, and that's what taxes are supposed to be expended on. Roads, highways, army, and the things that are necessary for the community.
All right. Guys, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Up next, news, weather, and sports. We'll come right back to you, I promise.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome author Stacey Ryan and filmmaker Nathan Demming. Great show. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Employees at the universities of Wisconsin will soon get parental leave. Eligible employees will get 6 weeks of paid time off after a child is born or adopted. The Board of Regents will review the policies Thursday. Full-time employees who've been on the job at least 6 consecutive months would be eligible starting July 1st. Non-organic strawberries, blueberries, and spinach contain detectable levels of pesticides. That's according to the 2024 Dirty Dozen Shopper's Guide. Experts say there are affordable alternatives to fresh organic food.
If you are interested in purchasing organic versions of the produce that's on the Dirty Dozen, there are also some more budget-friendly options in the frozen aisles.
Dr. Alexa Friedman is with the Environmental Working Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire has been named as one of the 10 cities that will receive a $75,000 grant to address some complex healthcare problems. According to a WQOW report, Eau Claire will receive the Invest Health Grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which aims to assist healthcare organizations address things like alcoholism, obesity, and mental health issues. Eau Claire officials will work with both local healthcare organizations and the other cities receiving the grant funding to determine effective solutions. The city of Menominee has announced its yard waste and brush curbside pickup schedule. According to a press release from the city, sanitation crews will pick up yard waste on April 15th, 22nd, and 29th. The yard waste must be placed in paper compostable bags that must weigh less than 50 pounds and be no more than 4 feet long. If that curbside pickup schedule doesn't work for you, residents can also bring yard waste to the city's solid waste site on Gilbert Creek Road on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Her whole thing is about peaceful solutions. She's not aggressive just to be aggressive. That's what Linda Carter says about the character she helped make famous, Wonder Woman. The 72-year-old Carter spoke about the possibility of Wonder Woman 3, saying she was confused as to why there needs to be an outcry from fans to get the movie made. Carter's version of Wonder Woman turns 50 next month. She played the superhero on TV from 1975 to 1979. Speaking of threes, producer Jerry Bruckheimer gave an update about the status of a potential Top Gun 3. Yahoo News reports that Tom Cruise, Miles Teller, and Glenn Powell will all return for the third installment. Bruckheimer says it's unclear when they can start production due to Tom Cruise's busy schedule, but that Cruise has signed off on a script idea and the script is coming along nicely. Cruise is currently busy filming the sequel to Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light rain and snow showers likely. Our high 44 this afternoon, the wind north at 10 to 20. Tonight, light rain and snow, our low down to 30, some minor accumulation. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy with scattered light snow and a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done. And the bright days are here.
My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, it's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I've said this in the past, and I'm going to say it again. The best way to fix the problems in this country is to start taxing the rich and corporations their fair share and stop giving billion-dollar subsidies to Exxon and Amazon and end the corporate welfare. I am tired of, as a taxpayer, being financially stressed all the time with taxes and whatnot, when the people that should be paying their fair share seem to get out of it. And we can fix our problem literally overnight by just taxing the damn rich and ending the corporate welfare.
Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I'm a firm believer that the revenue side is where we need to focus a great deal of attention. And we need to create a fair tax structure, one that is not prohibitive. I mean, the kind of fair tax structure that people talk about with a minimum tax for the wealthy and for corporations is not a prohibitively high tax. If we could collect taxes from everyone and have them pay a fair amount, our revenue stream would go way up. But the fact is that, as the caller has just pointed out, there are substantial numbers of loopholes in our system that that the people who receive them don't want to call subsidies or handouts, but really end up being that if what you do is measure it against what a fair tax payment might be. That was one of the things that I found attractive about a flat tax with very high exemptions. For instance, if you had an income of under $40,000, you wouldn't pay any, but above $40,000, you'd pay a flat tax. And everybody paid the flat tax, corporations and everybody. The revenue stream would go way up, and people who were looking for exceptions and benefits would have to justify it. So that the people like the oil and gas industry would have to come back and justify the immense oil depletion allowance they currently get, and I don't think they'd be able to.
Hey Cindy, thank you very much for the call as always. Let's go to Tom from LA. Tom, thank you. You say what?
Yeah, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and I think that includes all of us. And Cindy is absolutely correct. If we got money out of politics, so the politicians would quit getting bought off, and we actually had a tax code like we did when FDR was around, you know what? There would be a whole different shift, and everyone would be happy, I'll tell you that much, in terms of the middle class of the 90%. Now, one thing I'll say is that when you look at, again, CHTR, which Sandy is child care, health care, taxes, and rent or mortgage. One of those has got to give in order for people to, or the wages have got to be raised. We just raised our wages here in California for the fast food workers to $20 an hour yesterday. So, I mean, it's something has got to give, and it can't be always on the back of the middle class. And one thing I notice about conservatives is they always want to put a messenger as their god or their resource or whatever it is. I think on the progressive side, we like the message, but we don't really like our messengers. We're not like falling over ourselves over the messenger. It's the message. It's the policies. And the thing is, we are very, very much in favor of policies that are from the bottom up, not from the top down, just like Cindy said. And we have got to get to that point where, you know, it isn't all about the corporate welfare. It isn't all about the money for the billionaire class where they pay less in taxes than we do. I mean, this has just gotten way out of hand, and money and politics would solve it, because then they wouldn't have that influence over the people. And it's the Republicans. It is the conservative Supreme Court that brought us Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo, and First National Bank versus Bilotti, which are the three court cases that made corporations people and made it so basically, you know, the whole government can be bought off And they have to be in order to run for office, unfortunately. So, Sandy, what do you think?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Well, money in politics is a huge problem, and the tax code needs to be revised and fixed. And I don't think it'll ever get fixed so long as we have so much happening in the dark halls of Washington rather than the bright sunlight of the political processes. And so, we need to get there. And unfortunately, people who want to quote those who want to talk about taking money from those who make it and giving it to other people to realize their dreams are just ignoring reality. What we need to deal with is reality. We have a circumstance, we have a situation in this country, we have a circumstance in our economy that needs to be dealt with, and it's not going to be dealt with through ideology, through some pure liturgy about, for instance, free markets or taxation. It's going to be dealt with real policies. And there are lessons to be learned around the world about what kind of policies work and what kind of policies don't work. We ought to open our eyes and simply look out there like every corporation does and look for best practices.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Great calls. Outstanding phone calls. I appreciate the quality show, guys. You know, quality information, good information, finding its way to the masses, we the people, is the first prerequisite, I think, that needs to be dealt with. You know, we've seen in this modern era of digital and computers and cell phones and everyone's hips, you know, the information age is taken over. And unfortunately, as we all fully understand, a lot of it is nonsense and misinformation. Why can Europe deal with this and do regulations through the Digital Services Act? They've had three different rounds of heavy regulations going after the misinformation medias. They've done regulations to protect the young people from being marketed to and done all kinds of things to deal with this information problem that we've got. Why is it that Europe can deal with it, but the United States doesn't? And I'd like a follow-up on that real quick.
It is, without question, Mike, a great comment.
Well, I think it's values. I think the value system in Europe is different than ours. Ever since de Tocqueville, we've apparently been observed by others as being totally about individuals and individualism and not communityism. And I think that that the value system, and particularly in Europe, is much more about community. It's about the value of the community to the individual and the value of the individual within a community. And as a result, I had this example of someone who was at my house doing arbor work on trees, and they were using European helmets. And the guy explained to me that the European Union's health safety standards for these helmets were far greater and better than in the United States. So his company used European helmets for their arborists because they were safer and more effective because of the regulation in Europe. And again, it's the same example that was just given by the caller. Europe seems to have a value system that is reflective of community interest and the safety of the individuals within the community and the value of the community to the individual and vice versa. We've lost that.
Does Europe have the lobbyists like we have?
I can't tell you. I'm confident there are lobbyists. I don't know what the European Union is different in that it's more of a confederation of countries, and each of the countries has their own laws. And then they have elected representatives to the European Union. But all I can say is that the European Union itself has created a marketplace for regulation of Europeans that is far more effective, really, than what we have in the United States.
You know, Sandy, we're at this impasse, and it's an impasse that our nation's going to have to make a decision which direction she's going to go, and soon. Because we can't keep going in the direction that we're going now. To have stalemates.
I'm afraid the direction we're going is circular and downward, sort of the way the water goes down,
right,
down the sewer. You know, I think that right now our trend lines are all not positive, and unfortunately, we aren't doing anything about it. So my concern is the same as was expressed about having good facts. I don't think that we have a media that is helping us understand the situation we have, the factual circumstances we have, and it allows us all to embark on fanciful thinking.
You know, Sandy, when you look at the gridlock in our government, that's not going away.
Well,
that's not going to go away.
And the gridlock can only be the result of fanciful thinking, because if we were not thinking fancifully, we would realize that there are important things that absolutely need to be accomplished, and gridlock is a luxury that we can't afford.
So you're my enemy. This is the way this is looked at in our Congress. You're representing another part of the nation. We're supposedly a nation, the United States of America, a nation that is at turmoil inside of it. And so the people who we are electing to represent us to fix it are clearly at a point where they're not thinking individually. It's groupthink.
Well, it's, you know, it's fractionalized so badly. It's fractionalized. I mean, the most obvious situation is in the Republican caucus, how fractionalized it is, and
right,
how the requirement that you meet every litmus test in order to be accepted is really an unacceptable standard if we're going to accomplish anything in Washington. And, you know, compromise has become a bad word. It's become something that can't be carried out without assassination, so, essentially.
So let's look. This is the presidential election is upon us. And I was listening to Donald Trump yesterday. This is the most important election in the history of our nation. If I'm not elected, excuse me, what? This is the most important election in the history of our nation. And if I'm not elected,
He said, you know, in this controversial statement that's supposedly about the automobile industry, where he said described bloodshed
right,
that would occur. His next breath was that if I'm not elected, we'll, you know, American democracy, we will no longer have democracy in America. Now, I don't know whether that was a threat that somehow he would do something that would eliminate democracy, because I guess the current view is that there would be a danger both ways. You know, we might lose democracy with his election and without his election. But to have this talk that his individual election and that the issues at stake are essentially critical to the survival of America is craziness. It's craziness. And the fact is that if we can look at his prior 4 years and realize that there wasn't any policy he was carrying out there that was fundamental to the importance of the survival of American democracy.
You know, Sandy, it would be different if we didn't see the first movie of Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
We saw him. We know what he, Dennis Green once said, the famous words of the Minnesota Viking coach, they are who we thought they were. We know who he is. We've seen him. We've seen him as the president of the United States, right? We saw him for 4 years. And so the real fear is that he's going to repeat even worse what he did before. And he's telling everybody that. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere, sunny one so true. I love you, I love you.
93.5 The Tap.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable,
tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try.
This isn't Jim Belushi doing it either. Oh, baby. Or John Belushi.
No, that's the legendary Joe Cocker.
Joe Cocker, absolutely.
He was.
Belushi did a terrific imitation of him.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, it is a harrowing time in our nation, and a time, really, Sandy, for healing. But I can't see how we can get to healing. The divide is so intense. And you and I have been around a while, and we've seen differences inside of our nation, Sandy. We've seen differences. But I, you know, I wasn't around during the civil rights. I mean, the blue and the gray.
The Civil War?
The Civil War. I wasn't around during that time.
You weren't?
No, not quite.
Yeah.
But Sandy, that had to be a time where your fellow countrymen, your...
Well, when you think about it, a Southerner assassinated Lincoln, and you know, I didn't realize it back when we were studying all this. He was assassinated before the victory parade and was held in Washington for the Civil War. So he was assassinated within days of Appomattox. And so just think of the healing that had to go on as the result of all of that cataclysmic kind of behavior. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we did get through it, although Reformation was a very difficult time period. And then after that, the period of Jim Crow, which developed. So, you know, did we get over it? Maybe we're still getting over it.
Well, so I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said to me, you know, there are so many states that still have never forgiven and never forgotten, and the fact of what took place, and vestiges of that are engaged and involved in politics even today.
Well, I mean, the states' rights thing was carried forward, and political views. I think there are some cultural issues that were never mended, and maybe have resurfaced. And so I think that we have serious issues. The only hope I'm beginning to get is that I think that the soap opera that is Donald Trump is maybe getting, people are getting soap opera fatigue, and including those who were willing to pull the lever for him in 2016, maybe some of those won't be willing to pull the lever for him again. I think the interesting issue will be how, to what extent, a third-party candidate like Kennedy ends up affecting the outcome and who it is he takes votes from.
You know, Sandy, I have a lot of conversations and with people as I move around, and I really think that there are people who voted for Donald Trump before, and they don't say it publicly. But I think they look at that, and they look at him, and they look at the long-term damage and the future, and they say, even though I have these issues with Joe Biden, I just can't put that guy in there.
Which guy?
Trump.
Trump, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I think part of this.
Well,
I
think the liturgy that exists on both sides. There are Democrats and come from Democratic families who say I would never vote for a Republican, and there are Republicans who come from a long background of Republicanism or are recent converts who say I will never vote for a Democrat. I think those views have to soften, and I think those people ought to reevaluate what it is that makes the other so abhorrent as to have never be the appropriate adverb.
But Sandy, if you just look at both men equally and you look at the warts of both men and you just look at who they are and what they represent, you know, my God, you know, I can't look at Donald Trump or listen to Donald Trump and say, yeah, that's the guy I want to be the president of the United States. I just can't. I don't see how it's possible, and not based on the fact that I've never voted Republican, but just the fact of who he is, for heaven's sakes.
Well, you'd think.
I know. You know, hey, yeah, but that's me, and I'm only one person, and everybody has their own axe to grind, and everybody will make the decision in the darkness of the booth. And so that's the way the system is set up.
Speaking of the darkness of the booth, today's a voting day.
Oh, that's right.
We've got a primary here in the state as well as some referendum issues to vote on. So I hope everyone who hasn't voted absentee or by mail goes in to vote today.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, when I leave here, I'm going to vote.
Yep.
You know, and I find it hard. I have not missed a vote since I was 18 years old. I don't care what it is. I've always voted. And so I don't know if people have that kind of, you know, stick-to-itiveness as much today.
Well, I think we all ought to be excited enough about the role of government and what it does that we all ought to go vote.
All right, we got to get out of here. As Sandy said, thank you, Sandy, for reminding us today is a voting day. Go vote. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Sandy. Up next, Jane Matinera, Matinera on Air, and Greg Bach. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. And listen to a little Joe Cocker sometime.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allball Show. Next up on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Beer, Cheese, and Radio Tour with Todd and Trick V is UW Lacrosse. Join us on Tuesday, noon to 2.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental Health Care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel admits its forces carried out a strike in Gaza that killed 7 aid workers from celebrity chef Jose Andres, World Center.